Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Parenting Tools podcast. My name is Jordan.
And my name is Jason. It's the podcast where myself and Jordan talk about our lives as dads. Ups and downs, roundabouts, funny stories, emotional stories.
Yeah.
Kids.
We're just two blokes doing our best.
That is true.
To stay afloat.
Yeah, and awake.
And awake. If you've been listening to us for a little while and you've not yet left us a review or a rating, please do, because that helps us out. Do you know how I've found out how that actually helps us out?
Good, because people say it all the time.
People say it all the time.
How does it help us out?
The podcast charts.
The charts.
You can
yes.
go up. Yeah, you can go up in the podcast charts if people review and rate you.
So yeah, please do leave us several reviews.
Yeah, I think you can only do one.
Get someone else's phone.
Fake account.
Honestly, I'm all for it.
Just leave us a nice one.
Jordan, this episode, we're joined by a guest.
We have got a guest. Yeah, we've got joining us today on the pod, Lisa.
Lisa Whitley.
I've known Lisa. It's funny when you think about it. I've known Lisa since I was about 18.
Wow.
I went to Lisa's church for uni. When I was, well, not for uni. Didn't study university at the church. But when I was at university, I went to Lisa's church. So yeah, I've known Lisa for a long time. Lisa's got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. So going to be talking to her about what her family life looks like.
Amazing. Really looking forward to that.
Got a great story.
Before we get to that, can I just talk about passport photos?
Yeah.
Passport photos for kids.
Oh, getting them to stay still.
Yeah. So me being a cheapskate, I thought I'd do it at home.
Yeah.
Find a white wall. Sat Noah down on a suitcase, so she was appropriately alone. We didn't get the light switch in the shot. And I said, just do a normal face. For those that aren't watching on the video, just imagine a face that is not a normal face. This is what she did. She went, so no, don't smile. She went, no, don't relax your face. Just go. Just do a normal face.
Act casual.
For some reason, yeah, she was like, so I put her face forward. Like, anyway, we got one, and something I'm really proud of.
Did it get approved?
It did.
Oh, that's good.
Got approved, and she's wearing a Liverpool football kit.
She's got a football kit
on? She's got a football kit. So we ordered, she started football lessons.
Yeah.
I say football lessons loosely.
Yeah.
It's like a toddler's one. There's footballs around and goals. But we went online, picked for all the football kits that she wanted. And, well, not all of them. She got to pick one.
Yeah.
From the ones that were on sale.
Pricey football kits.
It was £20 for the whole thing.
There
top, bottoms and socks.
Yep.
Amazing. Anyway, arrived a week before she was going to football. And she wore it like she just put it on straight away. She loved it.
Yep.
I was elated. But anyway, her passport photo is now in her Liverpool football kit.
Lovely.
And
That makes me happy as a Liverpool fan.
Makes me very happy. Just very proud.
Yeah.
And she's also got a very awkward face on her passport photo.
Well, the other day, so my wife grew up in Newcastle. And she's still got friends in Newcastle.
Newcastle?
I can't do a Newcastle accent. It's the like... it's my worst accent by far.
Try it, go on.
What do you want me to say?
What do Newcastle people say?
Give us a pasty. Anyway, I can't do it. She's got some friends in Newcastle that sent us down a Newcastle kit for Luca. This was pre-Saudi money, before Newcastle got good.
Oh, okay. So,
kind of... Anyway... She laid it out for him to go to his football lesson. On his football lesson? What's it called? Session? Training session? His football? Whatever.
Football session, lesson, training.
The Newcastle kit was laid out, and I thought, you know what? I'll allow it, because you're from there.
I'll allow it.
And it's... What the heck was...
No idea. Just came over me.
I want that to be memed. I'm going to make it a meme.
For some reason, I just imagined like a judge going, I'll allow it.
I would love and hate to be made a meme.
Well.
Anyway, Newcastle kit was laid out. In the morning, he comes down in his Liverpool kit.
Nice.
I was so proud.
Well done.
Yeah, I was so proud of that. So yeah, there we go. Little proud dad moment there.
The only thing I'm upset about with Noah's football kit choice, it wasn't the red one.
It was the jazzy one.
It's the white one with lines all over it.
Too jazzy.
And she didn't even... I liked the red one. There's a purple one, which I wanted her to get.
Mm.
And I did that thing when I was like, oh, you can pick any of these. What about this one? And she went, no, I want that one. I was like, oh, but what about this one? I genuinely must have tried it about 20 times before I gave in. And I was like, she's never going to want the one that I want.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
That really took me by surprise, that did.
We've a common occurrence that's happening in our house at the moment is the making and baking of cookies and cakes.
Nice. You've mentioned this because she was eating the flour.
Yeah.
She smells the flour, thinks cakes, and then just dives in.
Yeah. So when making cakes, I don't know what comes over or possesses my child, but as soon as you sieve the flour, she wants to eat it.
Mm.
And she doesn't seem to recognize it tastes like flour. She'll go in for a second scoop. It's really bizarre. But we have to make them because all the cakes and cookies that have milk, egg and soy in, she's allergic to them. So
yep.
We're making a lot of them. I found some good recipes online. And today I thought I'd push the bow out and make some chocolate chip cupcakes.
Mm.
So when I say it's happening, I'm loving making cakes. I'm loving it. And so... The task that I'd... And like, you know, when you're doing stuff with kids, you have to assign them tasks that they can do that also aren't annoying to you and still get the job done.
Yes. Yeah.
So like...
Absolutely.
She was not in charge of pouring the batter into the cupcakes. We tried that before. Never happening again.
But she could put the little things in the tray.
So her job... Yeah. She put the cupcake holders in the tray.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we did.
Oh, perfect.
She can pour in some of the ingredients, but she can't stir because it goes everywhere.
Oh, I've got a good technique for that. It's got to be quite liquid, though. Just a little whisk in the hands like that.
Yeah.
My son loves doing that, and he can do it.
I will try to teach it, but my daughter seems to think she knows more than me already.
Yep.
So I assigned her the task of putting the chocolate chips in each cupcake little thing.
Lovely, lovely
I'd task. Already put the batter in, put three or four little ones in each cake holder. And I made the mistake that all parents make. I stopped paying attention. Started doing some washing up.
Hasn't got to be for long, has it?
And it was fully intentional. She poured the whole pack into one.
Boom.
And I just left it like it.
How did it turn out?
Delicious. I knew which one I was having straight away.
Sounds like she does know better than you.
But what I can say is... I think I could open a bakery. It would fail, but I think I could do it.
It wouldn't be a good one. No one said it would be a good one.
We could make one type of cookie and one type of cake.
Yeah, there you go. What more do you need?
Exactly.
Well, I was making pancakes with my kids the other day, and they like to help. And now both of them like to help.
Mm.
So my son tapped the egg on the side of the jug and then passed it to me and I cracked it in. My daughter tapped the egg on the side of the jug and just squeezed it.
That's brilliant.
And I could see it happening. It was like slow motion. When she didn't immediately pass it to me, I thought, she's just going to squeeze this. So I quickly like put my hand out, managed to catch most of the egg. But dear me. She's and then like, she just starts crying because there's a bit of egg on her.
When you're doing like activities with kids, like when you're doing planned activities with kids, I can usually cope with a bit of mess and a bit of chaos.
Yeah.
This was an activity we said we would do and the day was running out.
Mm.
We had to squeeze it in before I had to make dinner. So there was not a lot of room for like chaos or mess.
Yep.
And so yeah, I was probably not the funnest parents there.
It's just what happens
there. Militant cake making.
There'll be no fun had.
I won't allow it.
I won't allow it.
So sorry.
Oh, Lisa, rescue us. Let's speak to Lisa.
Well, hey, Lisa, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, yeah, welcome. Thank you.
Usually we start off with the basic question of who are you and what have you got?
So I have two children. I have Miles, who's 9, and Edith, who is about to be 7.
Oh, amazing.
9 and 7. So we're at the kind of, we're still preschool age. Well, my son's just started school.
Right.
What's it like having a 9 and a 7-year-old?
I love this age. The older they're getting, the better it's getting. Like, I see friends now who have like 3-year-olds or who are like just coming into like the naps, like coming out of naps or all of that. And I'm like, I don't miss that at all. Like, I am so pleased. I'm not wiping anyone's bum. I'm not like having to do any of that anymore. They're much more independent. You can have a much better chat with them. Too much chat sometimes, but this is great. This is great. From about, I'd say for me, it was like 4-5 up. Took a good like, and then I was like, I like you now. That's good.
At what age do they stop hiding things in like the washing machine and in random places? When does that stop?
That doesn't really stop. They still move stuff. I'm like, where are you moving stuff? Let me tidy your room. No, it's good. And particularly, so Miles, he's 9. And they're both so different, really. And as everybody is very different, but it's so surprising sometimes how you can have 2 children so different. One's a sleeper, one's not a sleeper. One eats everything or one doesn't eat everything. It's like they are quite opposite in that sense. But there's only a 2-year, 2-month age gap between mine. So I don't remember much of not having to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what we have also, I think the older they've got, they don't remember much of life without each other. So they play a lot together. They do a lot together. If they're in a sweet spot, it's nice. That's a nice spot to be in.
I'm curious, what is the TV show of choice for a 7 or 9-year-old?
Do you know, I was thinking this morning, Bluey was on, and I was thinking of you guys. I was like, what's the TV show? Oh, they're such trash. What do they watch? Something called like The Investigators, which is on Netflix, which, oh, I just can't stand. It has this like, dun, 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 like every few minutes. Oh, it's just so annoying. We're quite big into films in my house. We've got Disney Plus or whatever, so they'll put a film on. So like BFG is popular. Matilda was very, very popular.
Wow.
So Edith loves Matilda. So yeah, they're pretty good. Mars tends to have the monopoly of it, and Mars will not watch anything like Frozen. He's like, categorically no, he can't stand it. But I don't know, to be honest, I just kind of leave them to it with the TV. I'm not, I just sort it out between you. Parenting tips are between you.
use it when you need to. Do they get on with each other?
On the whole, yeah.
Yeah.
On the whole, I think so, yeah. I think they do. There are obviously moments where,
no.
I mean, like on the weekend, I wasn't very well, and they just weren't in the right place together. So I had to put them on different floors of the house. I was like, right, one of you's upstairs, one of you's downstairs, because you obviously just can't work this out between you at the moment. So it's a bit of a divide. but when they're on it, when they're both, you know, on it, then they will get on, and they do get on, and surprisingly so, I think, sometimes, because Mars is a very he's super, like, he's like a builder, so he'll make the Lego, whereas Edith will play with the Lego, so it kind of works well in that sense, because he's just like, I just want to construct it. He's not great with imaginary play. He's like, I don't see the point, but I can make a Lego for you then to play with the imaginary play. So they kind of go, it kind of works well like that. And then you
can tidy it up. So you've got a nice little conveyor belt.
Yeah, and then it goes through, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So Lisa, I was thinking, I met you when I was a fresher at university.
Oh my
maybe
God.
Before. That's about 14 years ago.
What was it? 14?
Isn't that insane?
We were so young.
Yeah, we had so much energy.
We'd had so much sleep. We had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember? You probably used to think we were busy.
Yeah. And a big part of me going to Coventry for university was your late husband Simon. I met him when I was 16, 17, and he was constantly going to me, "Come to Coventry, come to Coventry." Yeah. Big. He was a big reason why I chose to go there, because he was just pestering me to go. So I owe him a lot. Tell us a little bit about Simon and kind of your guy's story there.
Yeah, gosh. Okay, so I'm 38 now, and I met Simon. He was still at university. I had just left university at 21. We met and married pretty quick. He was training to be a pastor of a church, and he through some mutual friends we met and we married, and then our first like placement, like his first job, was in Coventry. So that's why we were then in Coventry. So that was, yeah, like that was what, 14, that was, yeah, 14 years ago. So that was when we first got to Cop then. And we were married 5 years, and then we had Miles, and then 2 years later we had Edith. And then Edith was 2 years old, and Simon had started to become quite unwell. We moved to Rugby at this point, and Simon began to become quite unwell. Physically, he wasn't eating, sleeping lots. And after lots of investigations and stuff, it was found that he had terminal cancer. And then we had 1 year of like treatment and kind of just them keeping him alive, which was incredible. For 13 months, he was poorly. And then he died on the 27th of November, 2019, 3 days before Edith's third birthday.
Wow.
And then it's 2 days later is Simon's birthday. So I have a week in the year where I have Simon died, Edith's birthday, Simon's birthday, that week. So that then meant at 20, I think, oh yeah, I was 34, for that being coming up to 4 years ago now, at 34, I was widowed with two children. Mars was five, and like I say, Edith just turned three. And then the timeline of events was 4 months later was lockdown. So it always blows my mind that Simon didn't know the word COVID. He didn't know the word pandemic or lockdown, because it just wasn't in our vocabulary. You know, I was so grateful I was able to go to all of his treatments. I was able to, you know, be in the hospice and be everything. I didn't work during that time at all. I was there for everything. And if it had been, you know, 4 or 5 months later, it would have been a very, very different story. Yeah. So we were married 10 years. We had a big party on our 10th anniversary in my parents' house down in London. And that was incredible, with gorgeous family and friends. He really wanted to make our 10th anniversary. He also really wanted to see Mars go to school. It was a really big deal for him to see him go to school. And he managed both of them. I love that you guys both knew Simon, so he's not a stranger to either of you. He was a very determined, very driven, very incredible person. I miss him a lot.
Yeah, he was. No, he was brilliant. And like I said, you know, at the time you don't realise the impact someone will have on your life, but him like encouraging me to go to Coventry University, you know, I've still got friends, some of my closest friends from that time, you know. So yeah, like it's funny the impact that it has, and my career's panned out because, you know, I went there and I did that course and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm really grateful to him for all those kind of things. But how was it as a mum then, handling all of that? Now, we touched on explaining death to kids last week, but not really in detail. And how do you go about parenting through that?
Well, I think, I don't know. It's only in my experience, of course. Like and how we managed it as a family, I suppose. A lot of it, I suppose, is like child kind of appropriate language. Like I remember, for instance, so Simon really wanted the kids at the funeral. So he had said, I really want the kids at the funeral. And we wanted to explain it, particularly to Miles. So Edith was younger. So Edith was just, like I say, Edith was just three. And it's not that she just wasn't as aware as a five-year-old. Yeah. So Miles was much more aware. And they both came to the hospice just before Simon died. And Miles has much more vivid memories around that. And I think he was much more aware of what had happened. But I'm not sure Edith is much more of a photographic memory.
Yep.
I think what I've always kind of gone with is honesty. And there's a lot of literature and a lot of support out there. And I remember speaking to like the palliative nurses about it, of like using like the correct language. So saying somebody has died, not saying somebody has passed away. So like I'll give you, for instance, we have said, because of our beliefs, we have said that Simon's in heaven. But, you know, that was after we talked about that he died. I remember one of the first holidays we went to was in Devon. And I said to Edith, well, we're going to Devon. She said, heaven, we're going to see daddy in heaven. And I was like, what? No, we're going to Devon. They sound very similar, but they're very different places.
Oh, bless her.
Well, so yeah, I think I think explaining things as much as I could to them was helpful. So like my gorgeous friend, she actually put like a PowerPoint presentation together. She's a teacher for Miles to run through the funeral day for him. So like there'll be lots of people. They'll look very sad. Then there'll be this kind of car. Then there'll be a coffin that will look like this. Then you're going to go to this building, the crematorium. There'll be more people there. Then there'll be flowers, you know, and just kind of like explained it. One of the hardest things I found to explain to the kids was cremation. Because if you start saying like you're going to burn someone's body, it starts actually really morbid. It's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
So we talked about that as a family actually. And we just talked about like, we still call it now daddy dust. So in terms of like, I think it was actually my mother-in-law who's like, you know, the leaves on the trees, they disintegrate and they kind of decompost, is that the word, aren't they? And bodies do that over time as well. And that's what's happened to daddy's body. And now we're going to scatter daddy's dust where he's asked us to, so we can remember him in that place. So that kind of not scary language, but also being aware, isn't it, of like how you say things, but being truthful. I think I'm a pretty truthful parent. I think when you've had to explain to your children that their daddy is very, very unwell, I think it's the hardest conversation I've ever had and probably hope to ever have, was when I told Miles he died in the morning. And using that word died rather than, like I say, passed away, gone to heaven, because it can get confusing. But, you know, we had some books that had been shared with us, the books of health. Like I've got kind of like, we have The Invisible String, which is a great book. There's some other books that we've got. I can share with you, actually put it on like some show notes, like just some really good books about remembering people when they've died and that their memory then lives on in you. So we've always been really... And we talk about Simon every day. We talk about, you know, daddy every day. There's not a day that goes past that, you know, Miles won't pray for daddy or pray or talk about him or will remember him in something. You know, and I've always been very like, it's not.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, it's not a dirty word. You can always talk about him. You know, he's still alive in us. He's in our hearts. And we kind of talk in that sense, really. I can't remember your question. What was it? How do you parent through that?
Honesty. Just parenting through that. Like, because, you know, parenting with two parents present is tricky.
Yeah.
At the best of times. And, you know, you've just mentioned that you've had a cold or you've been ill, you've had COVID.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, you know... It's really hard when you're ill and there's two of you. It's hard when you're ill and there's one of you, but then you've got the whole grief element as well going on. I just admire you so much, really, for spinning all those plates.
I think that, thank you. I think in a really weird way, COVID, like, because it hit, like I say, 4 months after Cy died, there was a bit of like, it's just, you're just going to have to get on with this. Like, no one's allowed in. No one's really allowed out. Like, the three of us have got to work this out. But I did have a lot of therapy, particularly that first year, that helped, because I had that year that Simon was unwell was so traumatic in so many ways of, you know, just the whole chemotherapy, and anyone who's experienced or been near anybody that has had cancer treatment will be well aware it's just so horrific. And so I had a lot of therapy that year, for a lot of the PTSD really around that, because I'd had so many flashbacks. But I remember thinking, even quite soon after Simon died, and I was feeling quite anxious about stuff. I'm not even sure whether COVID had hit yet. And I just remember thinking, I have got to be okay. I have got to be okay for these children. So I need to get the therapy I need to get. I need to get the support around me that I need to have. And I need to build now my life again. So that these kids will be all right, or I'll give them the best chance at being all right. And I suppose threw myself into that, really. One of the things was like fitness. I was like, okay, if I can't get to the gym because of COVID, or I can't get to the gym because, you know, you have two kids at home and one of, you know, you have to have an adult here. Okay, right, I'm going to get a bike so I can cycle in the front room. So I remember like setting up one of Simon's bikes on like rollers, just like, oh, what am I doing? But I was like, I need to exercise.
Yeah.
And I still do that now. It is a constant, but I think it's just constant being a parent though, like constantly, like in it, you know, a mental load. But I think I am so lucky. I'm so fortunate. I have an incredible right network around me. So my parents moved up from London, kind of in the middle of COVID after Cy died. They opted to relocate. Cy's mum and dad don't live far away at all either. They're like also here. And so I have an incredible network of family and friends as well. And I think as the kids are getting older as well, like you can cut, like organizing play dates, or, you know, just being able to kind of, you know, say, oh, can you watch Miles while he's at church? Or, you know what I mean? People don't mind, and people are kind. It truly does take a village, for sure. And I'm all for like asking all of the village to help. But it's the mental load, I think, of, I don't know, of having, of your kids' kind of emotional well-being on your shoulders, I think, as well. Like, whereas maybe at the end of the day, you'd chat as parents, like, oh, they had a meltdown today, or, you know, I wonder what's going on with them at school. And for me, the sting comes. I have like sting points, I call them, kind of throughout the year. There's lots of them, but things like first day of school. So like Edith's first day of school was really like, Simon should be here. And that happens like pretty much every year, because they're starting a new school. They, you know, and you've got the pictures and everybody's there with their parents and da-da-da. Parents evening as well. Like it'll just be me and the kid. School plays and stuff. But I mean, the thing is that, like I say, I've got grandparents, they're always like, welcome, you know, their generosity of time as well. They see the kids regularly in the week, and they enable me to live and and to have the life that I've got now. Like, I definitely see that and know that. So it's not, I'm really fortunate. It's not all on me. It is, but it's also not. Like, I feel incredibly supported, and I know that I wouldn't be able to do what I do, work how I work, see my friends, you know, parent how I parent, if I didn't have them around me, for sure.
Wow. Genuinely, it's just, I think Jordan said, I'm genuinely in awe. Like, just even, again, I remember at the time when Simon was poorly, and I remember just the emotions that we felt as well, and it was like, oh. And to then add on to that, being a parent, honestly, just, I think you've done incredibly. And like you said, like, it's ongoing. Like, it's ongoing. And parenting is ongoing, but not in
it
the same
really
way.
It really is.
I just think that's incredible. I think I really liked how you were saying that, like, not a day goes by that you don't talk about him. And I think that's really helpful, I think, as well. Really helpful and really healthy, that actually process that properly. You have to be able to, like you said, it's not a dirty word. Let's remember him well. And I just love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because it's they say with children, it's like every new stage they enter, they grieve in another way, because their mental understanding again of grief and of loss, of absence, you know, their awareness is, you know, is changing all the time. You know, Edith said to me only the other day, she said, you know, you have more memories of Daddy than I do. And I was like, well, I am a bit older than you. But then she said, well, Miles does too. I don't remember him like you do. And that's not fair. And I was like, it's not fair. And just, you know, holding that with her, I can't fix it. I realized very early, I cannot fix their grief. I can't change it. I just can't. I just can't. But I suppose through the therapy iPad, it's now allowed me to have that, like, larger capacity to kind of be able to hold those and validate that emotion. Because kids are so in the moment. Like, she can be distraught by that moment, and then it will move quite quickly into, right, I'm going to go and play with my Barbies. And off she goes. And I'm kind of less like, oh, I know you don't, you know, but I surrounded your room in pictures of your daddy, so you can remember that, here's a picture of you here with him holding you. And, you know, but they do change. They do move through their emotions. And I think it's like adults as well, but it's just important to be able to kind of, like, hold and validate them, really. In those times, it's not all easy, and I've always been really, really, like, pro them talking, and not always just to me either, you know, talking to other people, talking to professionals if need be, talking to parents, talking to grandparents, you know, and anyone really, because I don't think. I think it's kind of at the beginning of our generation, like, it's our generation's almost responsibility to bring up the next generation that are able to talk about their emotions so freely.
Well,
and to be able to name those emotions. There's a lot of emotions often in our house, and just due to there being a lot of emotions. And so I think I've tried to kind of keep the ability of validation and naming of those emotions, like, at the forefront, so that we're not sideswiped by them. It's like, no, actually, you're showing me anger, but actually you're sad. Okay, let's talk about the sadness rather than just shout because you're angry. I don't know. We make it up as we go along, don't we all?
Yeah, don't we all?
Well,
don't we all?
In hope that everyone's all right by the end of the day.
Try to keep the injuries down to a minimum. That's
I love bedtime. I'm like, yeah, bedtime.
You have some of those days, don't you, where you're checking the clock, you're like, can't wait for bedtime today.
I'm all bedtime. I think even like last night, I was like, kids, when you go to bed, I'm going to bed as well. Okay? That's it.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what as well, good on you doing lockdown with a five-year-old.
Homeschool, man. Woo! Homeschool. Wow. Oh, I've never Googled stuff so much in all my life. And I was trying to work, and it was, and I just got back to work as well after not really being around for like a year. And because I'm a key worker, they were able to go in for a few days a week. But even now, me and Miles find it really difficult to be on a laptop or on a computer together trying to do any kind of work. Like we still even look at each other like this is like lockdown days, and we like can't do this. I'm not sure what he learned that year, if much. He's caught up now, I think, but Edith was more preschool, so she continued to play. To be honest, I don't know whether I do remember, it sounds like a lot of like amnesia, but I think it's just, I don't know, I think a lot of people might have from COVID, because it was just a survival mentality, wasn't it? It was like, well, we've just got to kind of survive this.
I look back on lockdown with like really positive memories.
Yeah.
We just had Luca, and he was 6 months when we went in, 7 months. So he was really manageable, and it was just the one, and there was a 2-to-1 ratio. Yeah, there was no homeschooling. He couldn't speak. He couldn't tell me to go away, all that kind of stuff. So I look back on it with really positive memories. And we were talking about this at work recently about, you know, what would we do if they had another lockdown? And my initial thing was, I'd love it. And then I thought, no, I wouldn't. Not now. Not now, there's two of them that are very active, and homeschooling would play a part and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's the homeschooling and just, yeah, the activity levels. Like, we're quite lucky where we live. Like, I've got a lovely garden and we've got like local woods and stuff. So I remember doing like yoga in the garden. I kind of liked it. And maybe initially I liked it because it just made it all go quiet. It'd been so busy. But I think, you know, it just kind of changed everything. I probably wasn't very good at staying home before lockdown. And that used to be, you know, like with me and Si, so I would be like, no, I just want to have like a chilled weekend. And I'd be like, no, let's do this. And he'd be like, I really just want to like chill. Whereas now I'm like, I don't mind staying home now. I'm like quite all right about it. And I think lockdown did that. It like enabled me to kind of be like, it's okay to stay home. I think the kids got used to it as well, because they were just like, oh, well, we can't really go anywhere. He's trying to protect them as well, wasn't it? It was trying, because he didn't want to, it was really difficult, because she didn't want to be like completely scare the living daylights out of them. You know,
So yeah, you guys had a time of it then, you know, Si passing and then lockdown kicking in. Still like life, because life looked different for everybody, but for you it certainly looked very different.
Yeah, and it makes it come to the surface of like, okay, so what do I value now? I think there's a definite like before Simon died and an after Simon died. They say, don't they, like you live two lives, and the first life you live, and then the second life you live when you realize you've actually only got one life. Like, I can't remember the phrase, but I think Simon dying made me realize nothing's guaranteed. Nothing is it challenged everything. Every single area of my life was thrown in the air and questioned. And when it all kind of came patting down, I was like, right, what, how do I want to rebuild this? Where are my foundational blocks going to be? And where am I going to put my energies in? Where am I going to put my finances in? Where am I going to, how am I going to build, how am I going to rebuild? And I suppose I think a bit of lockdown, because you couldn't get distracted on anything else. There was nothing, I couldn't use distraction. So I just wanted to fly away. You see, I just wanted to book plane tickets. Like, I remember just wanting to just leave, run. And the lockdown stopped you doing that. Which was good, actually, because I wasn't ready. And I think when, you know, stuff started opening up and we did start going away, you know, my confidence grew. And now, like, that is very much my, very much like a really high priority of mine, is to, like, travel with the kids and to, you know, see stuff with the kids and go places. And, like, I took them to LA in April to see some friends. I'm even like, you're crazy, Lisa. Like, what? Yep. Like, you took a, how old were they? Like, 7 and 5 year old to LA on my 12-hour flight, just on my own. And I say it out loud, and I'm like, wow, you. But we had a great time. We really did. Like, it wasn't without his tears from everyone at one point. Like, we pretty much got there, and Edith had an ear infection, and I just remember kind of feeling like, I'm about to navigate the American healthcare system. Okay. Oh, wow. Do you take American X? Like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, great. Okay. Well, I'll just pay this problem away. And my insurance was that. But, like, we had such fun. Like, the three of us in LA, like, on Santa Monica Pier, we met people. Like, then I saw my friend. Like, it was brilliant. It was so good. And I don't know, like, there is a part of me that constantly is like, you're like, you push things kind of to the limit a bit. But then a big part of me also is like, well, you really only have one life. Like, don't wait, do it. There's no guarantee here that next year or when you're 40 or whatever. Like, I very much, it's this constant kind of tension I live in of like wanting to do everything now and also kind of needing to work and pay bills. like I saw this thing the other day and it cracked me up. I shared it with like all my friends at work. Said like, I used to want a career, but now I don't want a career. I just want a job that pays for my plane tickets. That's me all over. Like, I just want to buy plane tickets. But it's less of a run now. I've had to really work on, like, Lisa, you can't just run away. Like, think about this. But the kids are really up for the adventure as well. And now I know we can do it. I'm kind of like, sometimes I just think, well, either they're annoying at home or they're annoying on a beach.
Yeah.
I know where I'd rather be.
This is what I mean, though. Like, I'll avoid taking my kids to Aldi, never mind LA.
Yeah.
If I can avoid it, I will.
See, I'm all for, like, see, stuff like that. Like, I just pay the problem away. Like, I don't, like, if I can avoid it, I don't go supermarket shopping because I spend so much more if I'm shopping, like, on the go. So if I do it online, so I just do online shopping. I have a cleaner that helps me loads. Like, I just kind of had these things that make my life easier. And I think that was probably from diagnosis year, like, with stuff being so tough, me and Si would often be like, look, what's going to make life easier right now for us in the way that this works? So cleaner. I was like, a cleaner will help. So I've had a cleaner since like then. And then, yeah, like, I'm fortunate enough to be able to kind of, you know, organize and logistically organize my life so that it will hopefully run a little smoother. Sometimes it obviously messes up, but I think almost like you're the only one with all the logistics in your head. So there's no other, you know, you're the one that needs to kind of delegate it out or talk about it or organize it.
Yeah.
And I suppose in a way that's a bit of a strength of mine that I can do that. I'm a manager at work as well. So I just kind of like manage all the people. It's like you manage your people, you manage your home, you manage it all, really.
That's so cool.
I think
what you said, like, especially when you go through, like, when your priorities change, it changes how you spend your money. Like, and when it's like just ease, like this, whatever's ease. And me and Jordan often have like the conversation of like time over money, which one's more valuable. And I will often pay, like I will pay anything if it gives me more time.
Totally.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what it is. If I can afford it, I'll do it. And Jordan's always like, no, maybe not.
I'm tight.
You're tight.
Honestly, I genuinely, I could just sit and listen. I think you're incredible. And I think, you know, even what you said, I think will be really helpful to a lot of people as well. We have kind of one question that we usually ask before like we round up, which is, do you have like one nugget of parenting wisdom to share with the world?
I think I'll write something down. Oh, yeah, I did. Because you told me about this. Make the memories, take the photos, but make sure you are in the photos. So often we're taking pictures, you know, you got your phone, yeah. You're taking pictures of your kids, but get in the camera, because the pictures I have of Simon and the kids are like gold. Like, they're the precious ones. And also it shows your kids you were there. Because I think often, like, well, he did say, you work all the time. I'm like, no, I don't. I was here.
It's like, the proof.
You know, I'm proving. This is good childhood you're having. So here you go. This is proof. Make the memories. Book the holiday. You won't regret it. Even if it's just, I remember, like, we went for like a couple of nights. I think like 2 months after Si died, I was like, I just need to know I can take the kids away on my own. And I booked it before COVID, before lockdown happened. There was rumors of it, but I was like, ah, we'll just go. And we did it. And I was just like, oh, I'm not ever going to regret just doing it. Like, it'll be all right. And it'll be all right. And it is all right. And I think, I don't think you should let fear really hold you back. Obviously, all within reason. But you won't ever regret spending quality time with your kids. As much as they drive me mad, like, trust me, they drive me mad. We're better when we're out of the house, when we're doing something together. So, like, this weekend, I'm actually quite excited. Me and Miles are going to Harry Potter Studios. I've had to do my homework for this. I've had to watch all four, I've only watched the four films because I couldn't manage the rest. He's so excited, and it's just me and him, and I love that when it's one-on-one. And then for Edith's birthday, we're doing Matilda the musical, because she's so into that, just again one-on-one. And it's like, rather than the plastic toys, it's like, let's do experiences, let's do memory making. And that's the kind of new era we're going into, rather than, you know, I want this Barbie dream house or whatever.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that would be my wisdom. Take photos, do the things, take the photos and do the fun things with your kids. Because Miles reminded me the other day, he's like, I'm halfway through my childhood. I was like, are you? He was like, yeah, I'm 9. And when I'm 18, you told me I'm an adult. And I was just like, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. I said, it's not all it's cracked up to be, though, being an adult. So don't look forward to it too much.
No, next thing, you're cycling in your living room.
Exactly. And he's like, this is the best thing in the world. Yeah. And then I said, you're going to have to pay me rent. He was like, oh, it's like, yeah.
Oh, that's a good, Lisa, thank you so much. It's been brilliant. My cheeks hurt from just smiling, listening to you speak. So thank you for listening to another episode of the Parenting Tools podcast. If you want to send us a message, or if you want to send Lisa a message via us, you can do at Parenting Tools Pod. And do not forget to register for your IKEA tickets on the website, links in bio, all that kind of thing.
Lovely.
Smashing. See everyone next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.